Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the World of Ink Network. Founded in 2011 by Virginia Grenier and Marcia Casper Cook, their vision was to start a radio show that helps authors reach their dreams. The World of Ink Network has a wonderful group of hosts who are also authors and dedicated to delivering shows to entertain and inspire listeners. The World of Ink Network shares resources that introduce tips, products, and services to help strengthen, support, and challenge those who love writing and the written word. Their hope is to bring not only authors, illustrators, and publishers together, but screenwriters, directors, and producers. New to the network will be a variety of special shows bringing not only entertainment but informative discussions on timely subjects. To learn more about us, go to www.worldofinknetwork.com or visit us on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Thank you for your support and enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody. Hi, it's Marcia Cook. And yes, this is a different show than we've ever had before. And naturally, it would be my show that we're going to be doing it on. This is on songwriting. And I've had a lot of requests over the years, but we've not done it. And today, we actually have really good people that are songwriters. And that's a good thing because I am not a songwriter. I would like to be one, but I'd like to be a lot of things, but we never know what's with me, as we know that. But we're going to have a really fun show tonight. And I think, let's see, we have some messages. And I think Virginia Grenier, my partner in this, will be on, I think. But if not, I will talk about all these things. We're doing some different things with the shows. And in September, we'll be starting some newer shows. But right now, as always, I have different subjects, as you know. And so if there's anybody out there that would like a certain, us to have a certain show, please let us know at World of Ink Network. And we are, really trying to get all these different, different shows because it's so much fun. And this one tonight is definitely going to be fun. I will say some of the messages in the middle. And we're also going to try something which we haven't done before. We're going to play their song. So I want you to hear all of their work. And they really are, they're authors, they're songwriters, they perform, and it's going to be very interesting tonight. So I think I'm going to let each of them introduce themselves because they have so much going on that even in the small bio that I put on is nothing to what they've done. And Keisha, hi Keisha, Keisha's here, and she used to be doing shows with us with Virginia Grenier on Family Matters. Hello Keisha, how are you?
Hello, I'm great. How are you?
I'm so glad you're on because all these years I didn't even know that's what you did until Virginia said this. And, I said, I'm doing the show.
Well, all those years we were talking about education and parenting, which is what
yes.
I do because I don't make a living as a songwriter. There are tons of people that do that. It's a hard thing to get into. But, we always talked about family and education and such, and we never really talked about songwriting. So this is kind of a full circle thing. This is cool.
And tell us a little bit about yourself. And then I'm going to play your song so we can hear that first.
Okay. I'm a school guidance counselor. I have a master's degree in education. I'm a life coach. I do a lot of self-help type stuff with people and have a business called Drive Your Dreams. But it's mostly public education. And then in the evenings, I go out in Nashville and I play my songs to various people in what we have here is called Writers Rounds, where usually three people get in a little group and you take turns playing your songs and you get like three apiece or five apiece. And that's what I do here in Nashville when I'm not teaching school.
It sounds like the show Nashville. You're just a little group of people because everybody now is very aware of what goes on in Nashville because of the show. It really turned out to be quite an event, doing these Nashville
Didn't
shows.
It?
Yes, it did.
Oh, yeah.
It's
and everybody's lived here. We've all been on the show. We've all been on the show several times. I use all local extras, so we've all been on the show a few times. And we all see people on the show that we know, and we see places that we go. It's pretty authentic. It's surprisingly so.
Yes, I know, and that's one of the reasons we have it. We're also, Judy and Gil Schneider are here, and Brian. I think, maybe we'll do this first. Okay, Brian Tedeschi is here also. He was my client for years, and he's a scriptwriter and an author. So I'll let him talk a little bit about himself, and then I'm going to play the music after we all introduce yourselves. Brian? You're on.
Hey,
you. Hi.
It's Brian Tedeschi. Nice to hear from you, as always.
Yeah, same here. Go ahead. Tell us a little bit about yourself, because you have a lot going on also, a lot.
Yeah, I'm Brian Tedeschi. I'm in right outside of Chicago. And my wife and I are writers. We write mystery novels, science fiction, screenplays, and also I've been, I think writing songs since I was about 17. I've been in bands, from rock bands to country bands, for the last 30 years. And currently we have a couple books coming out, and we were just in Nashville working on our second book that takes place there, so it's kind of interesting that you called me about the songwriting because we were just there.
I saw you on Facebook, and I saw you put something on, and I went like, oh, wait a minute. Okay, there he goes. I didn't know that about you either after all these years. I really didn't.
You can
always learn.
Yeah, I've always was more of the lead guitar player backing up usually the chick singer. And I've had to kind of step out and being the singer-songwriter, which was really nerve-wracking. I've played in front of, like, tens of thousands of, you know, people guitar, but I never sang. three people, so to have the courage to do that, I just kind of closed my eyes and it went pretty good, so that was fun.
It's good. We just have to, before we go on, I just want to say we have to give a shout out to your wife, and she has a new book. You want to just tell us for a second, because she's not on the show, but she's going to come on one of these shows, and I hope she's listening. So tell us a little shout out about her book, her new book.
Sure. I always like to promote Vicki Voss, my wife, Vicki Voss Tedeschi. She's an award-winning Chicago Tribune writer. She's traveled the world writing for World Relief, for Women's Circle. And she put down her journalist pad and started writing a cozy mystery called Antique Hunter's Mysteries. And the first book is called Murder by the Spoonful. And it's really gotten great reviews, and it's really doing well. It just came out. It's on Amazon. You can just type in Vicki Voss at Amazon and buy the book, or go to her website, VickiVoss.com. And she's working on book number two.
That's terrific. And I already know the next guest. I already know that Judy Snyder, she's already writing that down because she's probably going to want to know about the book that she wrote. I know you already.
I just wrote it down. I have to buy it and read it.
I know. After talking to you for, I don't know, like 10 years, I don't know how long it's been already.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
More, yeah.
I first met you when you were calling for your husband because he did a screenplay, because he is a very busy neurologist. And that's how I met you. And then.
Yes.
Yes, and I didn't know Gil until a little while after, because you were his PR, the best one I've ever seen, calling for her husband. You did. And then we discovered you were a writer, and you already had things out. So we became, you know, very close. I did actually one of your stories as a screenplay, so I know you for years, and I want you to introduce yourself, and then Gil can introduce himself. Gil has not been on the show very. I don't think you've ever been on, Gil, but I've talked to Gil a couple times. Nope. But he's really busy, and I'm so glad he came on the show. And so let's hear both of you have a little bit of a story how you got to this.
First of all, we're both authors. I do some children's books, and I'm working on some mysteries now, some novellas. And I'm a retired social worker. And used to do therapy, and then worked in a kids' library for 8 years, joyful reading to little kids, and so decided to write children's books. And so a little dabbled in that, and then Gil, I have to tell you the story about the red guitar. We hooked up with Billy Ray Stewart, and that's how we got into songwriting. But Gil, can you say a bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm a neurologist in Chesapeake, Virginia. Of course, Judy and I live in Virginia Beach. And I've written a medical thriller called Brain Warp, which... the basic plot is a plot to poison the president of Ukraine because he was leaning too far to the West. And about a year and a half after I published it, someone poisoned the president of Ukraine because he was leaning too far to the West. And I'm working on my second medical thriller.
Right, who would know that? Right? Who would know?
So I'm working on my second medical thriller now. Judy and I started songwriting when we were on a bus trip around the South. We went to Nashville and Memphis and down to New Orleans. And at that time, we heard about a contest put on by American Songwriter. And we said, well, let's go ahead and see if we can write some lyrics. And so we tried writing some. We submitted it. And unfortunately, we didn't win that contest. But there's a story about that I'll let Judy tell you about Billy Ray.
But I can tell you. Want me to tell you that later about the red guitar?
No, go ahead. You can tell about Billy Ray, and I'm going to play
Billy
that
Ray,
song.
I'm sorry he can't be on tonight. Billy Ray Stewart is just amazing. musician,
songwriter. Does he live in Nashville? Does he live in Nashville?
No, he lives in Louisville, and his dad was Red Stewart, one of the co-writers of the Tennessee Waltz,
yeah.
A very famous Nashville singer, and You Belong to Me, and he was just, and he's amazing in his own right. You'll get to know him. He's going to be working on an album, but he couldn't be here tonight. But he walked in our house on business one day, and we started talking, and he said, "Whose red guitar is that?" It was my son's. And I said, "It's my son's." And I said, we just entered a contest. We want to write songs. And he said, "Well, as a matter of fact, my dad was Red Stewart, you know, the co-writer of Tennessee Waltz."
Rather popular in Nashville.
Yes. And so it led to this wonderful collaboration where we worked on the song with him. And we have to make it clear. We only do lyrics. We do not do the music, you know, and I do not sing. People think that I sing. You don't want me to sing. And really, you know, someone called up and said, "Would you sing?" And we're like,
"I don't think they're going to hear you and I doing a duet."
No.
That's not going to happen.
No, I don't think they're going to call up. And,
no.
There was an article on us in one of the local shopping newsletters, and someone read it and called me up and asked me if I'd like to sing at their garden party, and I had to assure them that they, under no circumstance, that they want to hear me sing at their garden party.
But on the thing with Billy Gray, he arranged, and we'll talk later who we got as a demo singer and to do this song. But he was just amazing. I mean, he was a real good teacher, and so he really led the way to us getting on this route. And the people you have on tonight, Keisha and Brian, probably, I mean, we're humbled by, frankly, them, because they've been doing this and they know how to write the music. And so we'll learn a lot from them tonight. But we're on the path now. We'll talk more about that later. But that gives you
everybody seems
idea.
To be right. Keisha, you know, it seems like, you know, well, Keisha, you've been doing this for years, and you're definitely in the right place at the right time. There's no doubt. You know, so do you get, before we start playing the songs, do you do this a lot on the, you know, do you, like, during every week, or do you do this monthly, or do you, when you go out
do
and
do I play, or do I write?
Both. Do you do a lot of writing?
I don't do as much writing as a true Nashville songwriter does, because they make actual appointments here in town, and you write with this person at 11, and you write with this person at 2, and you write with this person at 4.
Oh, is that what they do? Is that what they do? They really do that? Really?
Yeah,
and they meet up, you mean, at like a coffee shop or something, and then they just...
Sometimes, but if you're getting to write with a songwriter who's already affiliated with a publishing company, and you can go to the publishing company and write with that songwriter, your songwriting chances improve dramatically, because, number one, whatever y'all write, they're already going to be published under an umbrella, and it's pretty hard to get a song to an artist that doesn't come through a publishing company. I mean, everybody wants a piece of the pie, but that's the way to get there. Aside from other things that are random that happen, you know, bus drivers get songs cut, you know, band members do. But typically, you've got to somehow get into those publishing companies that you can't just walk in. But they make appointments to write. I don't do that. I have a day job, and honestly, I'm not as committed. I write, as you know, other kinds of things. I play probably once or twice a month. I'll do a writer's night. I'm doing one tomorrow night, actually. And sometimes I skip some time, largely because when you write your own songs and you don't write as much, perhaps, as some people do, you get real tired of your songs. You know, you do the same ones over and over, and then you've got this whole library of them, or this big catalog of songs, but each time you write new ones, you think those are the best, so you do those, and you kind of abandon the other ones, so you're always on your last two or three songs, and if you don't write one for 6 months, then you can feel a little stale.
Well, I think that's what happens with writers. But maybe you feel that way, but not the people listening. See, that's what writers also do.
They're not there every night.
Yeah, you know, it's like writers. You could write the same page for, you know, you could do 16 pages, and you write like this. You know, you keep writing them over and over to make sure that they're right, and you're sick of it. But the people that are reading it, they're not going to read it like 16 times the way you are. You know, and it's
well, yeah,
just
and
that's
so
what
many
happens.
People see me one time, and that's the other side of the coin. Well, if these people only see me once, I want to give them the very best songs. Well, the very best songs are still the same ones that were the very best last week and the week before, so let's hope everybody in the audience is
right.
Different. They'll think, "She only wrote 5 songs."
All right, let's try. Let's see. We'll put one of you on here. There we go. Let's see. This is Keisha.
And braces and that three-speed twin. We played dolls and built straw forts. We went fishing and wore short shorts. We tasted our first cigarette when we turned 13. And my girlfriend said, we're just too cool. We're tomboys and Barbies and sometimes fools. Swearing on secrets we'd never tell a soul. No one knows what my girlfriends know. Charming fled. We cried over coffee and drank too much wine. Now we're single moms and soccer moms with very little time. But my girlfriends say we're still okay. An age is just a number anyway. Nip and tuck those years away. Yeah, that's what my girlfriends say.
It was so good. I love it.
That was so good.
I was dancing
was
to it in my house the other day. I was like
that
jumping around. I love this song. It is really
thank
good.
You.
Yeah, all right,
thank
so,
you.
All right. When did you do that one? That's your Prince Charming album?
Oh, gosh.
Is he
it's off the Prince Charming is Dead record, yes.
Yes.
But that song is probably 10 years old.
I love it.
And I was listening. I've changed just a little bit of the lyric in there since then. I haven't re-recorded it, but... You know, when I pitch that song around here in Nashville, what they tell me is, yeah, it's a great song, but it should have been written in third person because there is not a female artist that we can promote that will take this song and be of soccer mom age. You can't portray a woman that's perhaps in her 40s that's a soccer mom. That's not a popular thing to put on the radio. And you can't get a song cut like that. He said, you know, if you wrote it, and I've heard this from several people. He wrote it as in third person, you know, she says this, and the singer is not the woman. But the woman shouldn't be over 40. Can you believe that?
That's bad. See, that's bad. And so, you know what, like, could you try that again? I mean, couldn't you start all over again? Because it's really good, and things have changed in the last 10 years. You know, couldn't you start it over? Because it's really, like, I could just, I mean, it's really a good beat. I mean, I think it's really.
Thank you. I mean, I still pitch it around, but... the powers that they in Nashville that control what goes on the radio. And some independent artists like such as myself might cut it because we're, you know, over the whole age thing. But for mainstream radio, it's all about young. It's all about youth. And
yeah, but the thing is, though, the one thing that's different now is because some of the younger stars that sing, I think they're different. I think they're more open because of social media and everything. They're more reachable.
Mm.
So I think you should start because I think this is really – a good, I mean, it's just got, it just makes you want to get up and do something, you know, dance. I mean, it does. It's got a great
thank
beat.
You.
You know, that's the problem. That's the same thing with writing, which all of us know that our writers, the same thing. It's like, you know, what age group did you have or, you know, who's going to want this or whatever. But things are changing. Even in the, you know, on TVs, you see people that are over 40 or 50 now in all these series. So I think it's kind of making it a little better because a lot of people like Ray Donovan, well, you know, that they have, you know, they have older characters and that's good now. And I think that's going to help change things. But that was really good. Yeah. All right. So I know that Judy already, I can tell this. Judy, ask her a question because I already know you.
I was just going to say, what's the name of the song? Because I wrote down, actually, Keisha, one of your other songs earlier I listened to called Love Me Goodbye.
Oh, yeah?
And that you did. And that brought tears to my eyes. I love that song. But what's
thank you.
I just
this
love
this is called
What
My Girlfriends Say.
Okay, What My Girlfriends Say.
Uh-huh. That's a good song. That's a great name for a title for romance there with
yeah,
these guys. Because, you know, people, you know, they do
I
like, you know.
So true, the things that are in it. And I also think that the regular, and I've said this for years, being in Nashville and pitching songs and getting constant rejection, people that are listening to their radio, they don't turn it on and start critiquing. They either like it or they don't.
Right, exactly.
People here in Nashville, and they are going to pick it apart with things that a regular listener would probably never think about. Things like, oh, well, this title isn't right because you don't say this in the chorus, so this can't be your title. Listeners don't care what the title is.
They
either like the song or they don't. You know, there's a lot of strange little...
Yeah, it's the same thing with writing. I mean, if they don't like the title or they don't like the cover or something. I mean, you know, and regular people that are readers are not, they just want the story. Like the same thing with the song.
Yeah, they don't care about all that.
Brian, do you have anything to ask, or do you want to ask anything before we go on? Or?
Well, where was it recorded? I think it's a really good anthem. I disagree with the whole age thing. I totally understand it because I've been told that, but. I think it's a great song.
Well, thank you. I recorded it with a guy named Greg Perkins in his home studio. Everybody in Nashville has him. He actually did the first recording of Redneck Woman for Gretchen Wilson. Do you know Greg?
Well, no, but that's a great song too. Wow.
He did the original demo for her, and he did my whole Prince Charming Is Dead. We recorded pretty much everything there at his house, and he said. Play for Tanya Tucker. I think he's driving a bus now. It's a slippery life, those of the musicians here in Nashville.
Oh, it is.
It's your family, you know?
Yeah. I think that's it. I think it is. It's really a shame what happens sometimes. Some people do well, and all of a sudden then nothing happens, and then, you know, it's like it's as good as the next minute that you're gone. I mean, that's so sad.
Do you play guitar? Do you write on the guitar, or how do you write your song?
I write on the piano. I have a big upright Wurlitzer piano. And that's what I write everything on. Mm-hmm. When I do the writer's night, I usually bring a guitar player with me because I don't have a portable piano. I play well enough to write, but I don't play very well for myself. It's really not very pretty. So I have a guitar player. He's actually the Gatlin Brothers guitar player. He's been with them for years, and he was my next-door neighbor. And he plays for me. So I have a great guitar player.
Do you write the music first or the lyrics first?
Yes. Yeah. You know, people always ask that, and for me, it comes at the same time. I write most everything by myself, and I tend to get some kind of a phrase in my head, and it'll have kind of a rhythm, and they'll both be there. I've never written lyrics first and thought, ooh, can I put a melody with this? Nor have I ever written a melody and then tried to put lyrics to it. I've had people ask me, can you put lyrics to this melody? And it's like pulling teeth. I don't even know where to start. They come together for me.
Yeah, that's interesting that you do that. So it all comes together like that. Because I know with writers, when you're writing a book, what happens is you start a part of it, and then all of a sudden you think of something else, and you know, but it doesn't come sometimes all at one time. It's pieces for me.
Yeah.
I think, Gil, what about you? Does that come for pieces for you when you're writing?
Yeah, well, sometimes for my first book, I sort of started in the middle and then kind of worked my way to and from the particular scene. But, you know, for the second book, I just had an idea, a concept, and I'm just kind of working at it from the beginning and working it all the way through.
Yeah, because it just
takes
time.
And when we do songs, actually, we just do the lyrics. Sometimes the melody comes to us, but that's why we have about 9 or 10 songs that we have the lyrics, and they're frankly heartfelt, but we haven't gotten the music or the vocals with it, you know?
We tend to like ballads.
Yeah, we do a lot of heartfelt.
But I'm going to play yours right now. Let's see. Okay.
But that's why it reminded me, Love Me Goodbye.
You can take away my fears. I know you're here with me, but it still doesn't ease the pain. I'm afraid I'll see their face, and my heart will break in two. They're laughing. laughter still surrounds me, and I don't know what to do. So if I call a name at night, don't wake me up or hold me tight. Let me stay just as I am, trying to pretend and hoping it won't end, hoping it never ends. It's been years since they've been gone, and I know I should move on, but in the middle of the night, I sometimes lose the fight. They were everything to me, so much I should have said, but now that time is gone, and regrets are what remain.
Judy, that's about all I can play of that, is that right?
Yeah, we're still trying to figure out we're members of TuneCore BMI, and so we still haven't figured out can you play a whole song on the
sometimes you can't. That's why I didn't want to do it.
That gives you an idea, and you know we have it on iTunes and Amazon, and
the words are really they're very emotional. They're good.
They're really good. It's like losing. It's waking up in the middle of the night and you've lost someone, whether it be a love, a child, a parent, and not being able to reach over and get comfort. And then by the end of the song, it's hopeful you can finally reach out and get the comfort you need. But you probably noticed the wonderful singer Billy got for the demo was Lydia. And she used to be, I always pronounce it wrong, with Bering Strait Scale.
It's Lydia Salnikova. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was with a very interesting group called Bering Strait it's a group of Russians. That all liked country music and bluegrass music, and they emigrated from Russia. They formed a group here. They were actually nominated for a Grammy.
Yeah.
And she has that very melancholic Russian voice.
Mm-hmm. And she has she has albums out of her own. She's really good. And then, of course, the background singer is Billy's voice, which a lot of people have said, gosh, he could take the song and sing it from a male point of view because he has a really nice voice, and he's the one that knows and put it together in his studio. I mean, he's just amazing. And so it was fun. We do those heartfelt. We have about 9 other, all these heartfelt ones. I don't know why we do heartfelt ones, but we do.
Well, no, everybody writes differently, right? You know, I mean, that's just how it is.
As a writer, I also like to write as sort of as a story in which the character changes. They grow in some way, and it's, you know, you're used to doing that in a 250, 300 page book, and you have to do it in a 2-minute song. It's a little tricky, but we enjoy writing songs in which the character will change, in which it tells a story.
Yeah.
So you write all together. The two of you write these together.
Yeah,
we both
around ideas, write things down, kind of toss them back and forth amongst each other. Judy's the propelling force, I have to tell you.
She definitely is.
Bugging people.
As a neurologist, I just don't have quite the time that she does.
Right.
But that's a question actually for Brian and later on Brian and Keisha is, what do you do if you have all these songs and you want them, you know, to particularly we're focusing on Nashville, although I grew up with Motown, and how do you get, you know, someone to say, gosh, I love your song, let me, you know, record it, let me get it on the Nashville TV show. You know, how do you do that?
Keisha, what do you think about that? Keisha, what's your advice on that?
Well, I think that if I knew that, I probably wouldn't have the time to sit here and talk to you tonight. I'd be on a private yacht somewhere. No,
you'd have your manager talking instead. Yeah.
I'll tell you the biggest thing. It is, in this town, you network. You get out and you play every writer's night you can. You meet everybody you can. You join NSAI and you go to all of their networking meetings. You go to all of their song pitching nights. And eventually, the people that have become really successful here became that way because they were just absolutely relentless about writing every day with as many people as they could, over and over and over, going to every opportunity there was, and they start meeting all the right people, and they just get themselves in the mix. You've got to saturate the town. And people do it. And I've seen a lot of people just go right on past me because they were willing and could or chose to. You know, I felt like I had a career. I couldn't just, you know, not be a teacher anymore and go out and sit, you know, try my luck. But a lot of people do, and a lot of people starve, but a lot of people end up, you know, doing fantastic. My classmate, good friend of mine, Craig Wiseman, inducted in Songwriter Hall of Fame this week, Songwriter of the Decade, great friend of mine. He's written probably every song, big country song that you can imagine. He has a huge publishing company now and a label. He came from the same hometown I did, just was relentless, moved here homeless, lived in a van, and made something huge out of himself.
So, well, see, that's it. It's all about that. Yeah, that's what people have to do.
Be relentless and get better, you know, get better and better at it. And the more people you write with, especially people that have already got cut, the more likely you're going to get a cut. And always be, you know, open to criticism, because they will rip your stuff apart every time you go somewhere and you think you've got the best song, and you sit down with your rep at BMI or ASCAP or whoever you're with, or some publishing company let you in the door, and just every little tiny thing you think, really?
I know. Well, that's what, because all of us are writers, you know, the rest of us are writers, and that's really, you know, I guess I should say what I do. I forgot to introduce myself and say what I do. I am a writer and screenwriting, and I do poems, and I do children's books, and I do romance novels, and this is just what you're saying applies to writers too. They give up too fast sometimes. And Brian and I were talking about that before. Brian, why don't you, like, because we were just talking about his wife and himself. They both write all the time. But they're married to each other, which is a good thing, because it's hard to be sitting like, oh, Brian, why don't you tell the story of what you were telling me that while you're eating dinner?
Well, Vicky's next to me right now working on one of her five books, and all the way to, we bought a little iPad mini so we could type in the car on the way to Nashville. And then we're at dinner at a really nice restaurant, and she pulls out the little cube computer, and we're typing there. It's literally, we do all our money-paying jobs, and then every other second's dedicated to. We've got two screenplays in option right now that we're rewriting. We've got four books, and I sneak down into my little studio in the basement and try to write write a song, and it's just, you know, sometimes you have so many plates spinning that you don't get everything done you want to get. But it's just like you were saying about with the songs, you got to have that network. I've been kind of trapped in Chicago. I've kind of put the music on hold because I've been doing more stuff with one of the authors that are in our publishers is a really, really talented screenwriter and Hollywood director. He's on his like fifth movie that just is doing great. And I've been working with him on a screenplay, and he's just like you're just saying about tearing apart. I sent him my screenplay. He goes, I really love it, but change it all. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I'll give you till Saturday, and I want a 110 page rewrite. I'm like, okay, yes, sir.
Well, that's how it always is, because people think it can be done, but, you know, you really, you know, I see this all the time. People go, oh, yes, and a lot of people do. They write a book, they just throw it out. But, you know, honestly, it takes time. You know, I'm always saying, oh, it'll take a few days, and then a few days is a few months, you know, because it's not that easy. It has to be the right way. I'm going to play, which song should I play, The Wallflower or Little Things?
Let me explain. Let me explain that really, really quick. What that was. This is just me and guitar, and the singer we met. She played Elvis Presley's girlfriend in Million Dollar Quartet, and she was in at the Schubert Theater, and we met up. And this is just us in the theater, just the two of us playing this song. But she had this idea about Wallflower, just about basically how girls just, you know, at 13, 14, are just nervous, and they have to learn how to grow, basically. And so we just put it together. So just the two of us on stage.
I got news for you. Women keep going. We're always trying to grow and be different. So we never get to that place where we go like, oh, we're fine. We keep going.
But she's really good. She also plays Patsy Cline every year. I forgot the hometown where Patsy's from, but she's like Patsy Cline every year for the but she's a really pretty voice. But if you're into Wallflower, because that...
Okay, I'm going to do it right now. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
She was just 15. It was her first day. Dreaming of a kiss no one gave. 16 it was his last dance. He'd watched her all night and knew that this was his chance. His heart was pounding as he crossed the room. He picked a wallflower that was ready to bloom. Sometimes you've got to reach out and take a chance. Sometimes you gotta dance your dance. There's beauty inside everybody in this room, even wallflowers bloom. Wallflowers bloom. Even wallflowers bloom. Just by chance, the bride shares a mirror and a story about a dance. And a shy young bridesmaid follows her out the door and finds the courage to step out on the dance floor. Sometimes you've got to reach out and take a chance.
Well, I'll tell you, I got to tell you, all of you are really,
that's
really
very
good.
Song.
Yes.
Very
and, you know, I'm thinking this while I'm listening to this. I feel like a DJ. It's so exciting. I've never done anything like this before. But, it, you know, and thank you to Virginia Grenier for putting the songs out. And I'm going to say that, you know, I think, Keisha, do you want to ask any questions to, you know, all of you can ask each other questions because all of you are in this really in a very good way. You know, when you say you're going to have a songwriting show and you're not sure, and then it's turning out, well, all of you have really good lyrics. I mean, you're good. So, Keisha, is there anything you'd like to ask anybody or talk about?
Well, when the people that do the screenwriting, that are doing screenplays and such, are y'all writing your own music for that, or how do y'all plan to put music with that? Are you affiliated with somebody that would do that, or is that so far down the line at this point you haven't even thought about it?
It's a good question.
Well,
Brian?
I've done tracks. I've done a lot of indie stuff in Chicago. I did a 15-second song in a movie that was out years ago called Cliffhanger.
Yeah,
just like 15 seconds. But same thing in Chicago. There's about three people that do everything. So if you're not one of the three people, it's hard to get in. But I was lucky enough back in the early days, I used to be in a rock band back in the 80s. That's how old I am. And we toured.
We never say age. Age, we don't have ages on this show, ever. Nobody has an age. We'll go on forever.
I was in a band in the 80s, too.
Go on forever.
let's just say I was the youngest guitar player at age 3.
Good. Okay.
And we toured with 38 Special, Survivor, and then when Cyndi Lauper came along, we did stuff with her. So I made a lot of connections in Chicago for the music scene, like studio musician stuff. So I was able to get in, but otherwise it's really tough. But if you can sell a screenplay, you can usually, you know, kind of nudge your way in with the...
You know, I've not really talked about this with you before, but, you know, what about plays? I mean, you know, there's so many... Chicago, I mean, you're in Chicago, I'm in Chicago. I mean, there really are a lot of plays that are coming to Chicago and are, you know, doing very well. I mean, even Gloria Estefan, she brought her play here first, you know, and it was great. I saw it. It was really good. I like, you know, musicals with dancing. I love that. Everybody was dancing. I, you know, it was wonderful. But she started it. She came here to Chicago.
Hmm.
something to think
about.
Do you
know she wrote all the music for it, or did she probably have
it was all
people?
Her songs. It was all her songs. They used her songs, but they didn't put it in the exact order of when she did them. They did it according to how the play went. And I'll tell you, by the end of the play, everybody was like on their feet. That's the name it's called, on their feet. They were all dancing because it was incredible. Her music is great, but the way they did it, and there were some really great voices in it. I mean, it was really good, you know, but I think they started it in Chicago. And, you know, so, I mean, there is a lot going on. Have you thought about, even with your screenplays, ever doing it as a play?
Well, you know, once again, it's a matter of spinning a lot of plates.
I know that.
Well,
we're all spinning. Right, I know. I just happened to think of that because I never asked you that question. I was never one that loved plays. I love movies. And, you know, that's really... And I know, like with Gil, I know your book, like his Brain War, that could definitely be a really like a thriller movie. I mean,
right.
Gil, how do you feel about that?
I hope so.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's been difficult to get it out. You know, I think people who do find the book and read it, you know, usually read it in one night. It really does read very well and read very quickly, and people usually find that they can't put it down. So that's been my hope, that somebody would pick it up, read it, and say, "Oh, I know somebody."
Yeah.
But that's very difficult. We were thinking,
well, there were people that said that. See, there were people that liked it. See, but that's the thing, you know, knowing that, you know, how you write, and you know, Brian, you know, and I know how you guys write. You know, it's not even that the work is good. You know, I was telling Brian before, and I had spoke to him. Happened to say I did have Marcus Bryan and Associates, and I had really, really, really good clients, and everybody wrote really well. I read everything that they wrote, and they really were good. And it's just very difficult because it is about the money. It's not the talent as much sometimes as the money. You know, if you have money to get a movie out, you're going to get it out. Some way or another, you're going to get distribution and you get it out. And I see people now, they're all on Kickstarter and they're trying to get money, and that's just fine. But they think they need a certain amount of money, and they need a lot more than they think they need. And because there's a lot of people out there saying to them, oh, you know, we'll make your movie. And they actually think their movie's going to happen, and it's not going to happen because they're not going to have enough money. They're going to have to stop in the middle of it and then go back out and get money. Brian, I know you want to say something about that. Go ahead.
Well, I can't tell you how many movies we have optioned.
Yeah,
we were shooting one in Chicago, and the money fell through. They had
the
sites, they had the camera crew in.
Yeah,
it's a tough thing, like you said. If you're not attached to the money, it's really tough. That's why the guy I'm working with, Koji, in California,
which we will have him on the show. You know, and Judy, I know she's already thinking this. We will have him on a show.
Marcia, you know me too well.
I do know you very well.
His latest movie, Dying to Kill, is coming out. It's about a comedian that's kidnapped. It's all shot in a basement, and the killer basically holds him captive. And if he stops laughing, he kills him. He does a bunch of horror movies like this, but it's really, really good. He's got the guys from Comedy Central. I forgot the actor, Dwayne. I can't think of his name now, but really talented. But he shoots. He gathers up just enough money. He's got enough connections where he can. He gets the camera guys for free. He, you know, he directs and produces, and you can do it on a slim budget if you know what you're doing. You know.
See, like Keisha, here's a question for you. You asked that question of the screenwriters. What about you writing for the movies?
Well, I was a member of Taxi for a while, who supposedly can get your songs there if they meet certain criteria. Apparently, mine didn't. And there are various places that you can pitch more to TV or movies. The trouble is with a lot of things, especially around Nashville, there are a lot of people that will take your money and try to pitch songs for you, and they don't necessarily have any better luck than anybody else, and some of them are just downright con artists. Now, there are probably a few that could be helpful to you, specifically those in TV and movies. I have found that, again, if you're affiliated with a publishing company, you can get something sent directly to the powers that be. If you're just an everyday person on the street with a great song, you're going to have a real hard time getting it through the avenues. And like I said, there are a lot of people in towns like Nashville that are just waiting for somebody to give them some money and buy some promises. And really, nobody knows the secret formula. I don't think you have to spend a lot of money on a song plugger. I think you need to write great songs, be willing to rewrite those songs, get out there and network with everybody you can, and your chances are probably going to be better than trying to hire somebody who may or may not be able to help you at all.
Well, that's one of the things, right, which we all can attest to that, everybody on here, because this is the truth. I mean, even as an agent, you know, I had a lot of connections when I did this, and we talked to a lot of people, but it really was about money. But the fact is that you just got to keep going, you know, and it's difficult to tell clients that, and even when they're writing really well, and it's really sad because you know that they're great.
Yeah.
And you can't just go on a bus tour of Home of the Stars and toss your DVD out on their walls as you go by.
Well, yeah, really, there's a very small market, especially when you look at the radio today, which is why there's so many indie artists and so many people doing quite well being indie artists. When you look at the radio, they're playing about 10 artists every day.
Yeah.
And if you're not one of those artists and you're not that artist that may be writing your own music, there aren't that many songs to be cut out there. If you look at somebody putting out a new album, they're going to try to write everything they can on it because of the money, which is understandable.
It's the same thing with books, right? It's whoever's out there, right? Yeah.
The top songwriters are going to get the cuts because they're the top songwriters and they're kind of a guaranteed hit. So the rest of us are all out here on the fringes, and it's just like it's like a lottery in many cases, but your odds are better if you're in the mix all the time.
Yeah.
Networking. Yeah. You said it exactly with networking. Even with the books, you have to get out to writers' conferences. You got to shake hands. You got to rub elbows.
But the problem with some of the writer conferences is that, you know, I think that, you know, from things that I've heard, you know, sometimes people, you know, that are talking or they're speaking for the evening, they, a lot of them aren't that great, you know, and they just got lucky to be able to speak, you know, and because I've heard podcasts, I've heard a lot of different things, and sometimes they're not saying anything at all. And, you know, and they get paid for that. Okay, and people go away thinking that it's just going to be 1, 2, 3, and then they get, you know, they get some bad advice, you know. And
well, you meet other writers, though.
Yes, you get other writers, and that's a good thing. But Keisha said, keep writing because you know, all the people that you meet, if you're not writing new stuff all the time, it makes it difficult to get out there. Keisha, what were you going to say?
It does. And then you meet those new people that are writing that will write with you. Co-writing is kind of where it's at in Nashville. That's hard for a lot of people, but that's the more people on it, the more people that everybody in that group of writers knows, and it's a lot of it's politics.
Right.
Yeah. Go ahead, Judy. Go ahead.
Can you explain publishing for people listening tonight and saying, I'm going to start songwriting or I want to get into Nashville? Can you explain publishing companies you were talking about?
Well, there are 4 or 5 probably big ones. There's Big Loud Shirt, Sony, and they're like the middleman between. And it's kind of like with books, I would imagine. They're the go-between for the artist. Like Carrie Underwood cannot just accept music; she would be inundated with songs 24/7. So she has a publishing company, and a publishing company usually has like 5 to 7 to maybe 10 staff writers. They work for them. They make a salary. They kind of work against their salary. There are various ways they're paid, but they work for that publishing company. Their songs will get pitched to the artists, and the artists know, hey, this is coming from Sony. It's reputable. It's not some Don Ho down the street that managed to get a CD in here. These are reputable songs that come from reputable writers. If you can get your songs then to filter through that way by either being one of those staff writers or co-writing with one of the staff writers that you met at the bar you played the other night for free when you were doing your song, that's how you work in. Other like random things, if you happen to be a bus driver and you drive, I have a good friend named Earl Clark, he got 3 Tracy Lawrence cuts because he was Tracy Lawrence's bus driver and they drank on the bus after the shows. There are things like that that can happen. There are a lot of deals made in bars around here. But the publishing company thing is, and it's not just any publishing company, you know, because I can open a publishing company tomorrow and call it Keisha Burcham Publishing. It's legal as anything. But my little sticker that says Keisha Burcham Publishing trying to get in over at Curb Records does not hold water. But if it says Sony on it, it does. Or if it says Big Loud Shirt, it does. So you want to get into the big publishing company. Are they going to take a huge hunk of your money if you get a cut? Yes, they are. they're going to probably want half of your writing and half of the publishing, and you'll probably have to give that up. But once you get a few good cuts, you can start calling your own shot.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, see, that's, yeah. Brian, were you going to say something before?
No, I think there's...
Oh, okay, I thought you were, okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, while you're talking, Brian, seems like what we go through.
Yeah,
it's very similar.
Yeah, very similar. And I don't know that there is no answer for that, and it does, you just got to keep going, and you got to... I was thinking while all of you are talking, I put my book on for ACX for the Audibles on Amazon, and I found a really good woman that's going to do mine, and I'll be introducing her. She'll probably come on a show when she's done with one of my books. But I'm thinking, what about some of the productions that they do in books, they have songwriting in the background. Have you thought of anything like that? Some of the lyrics, or not lyrics, just some of the background? Keisha, have you thought of that on the books? Because the Audible books, it's become...
Audiobooks. Yeah. They have music behind them.
Yeah.
I've never listened to an audiobook in my life, so I didn't realize that they had music behind them.
Some of them do.
Then I would think that would be a really good... I would guess it's instrumental. If it's music with lyrics, I suppose that'd be fine, too. I guess that if you could get that incorporated, somebody makes some money, and if it's yours...
Yeah,
and you wrote it, and that can be incorporated as part of it.
I think that's a big thing. That's why I'm starting to do it. I really think it's going to be big, is getting your book on tape, tape now, because you can listen on the phone, you can listen on the computer, everywhere. And, a lot of times, certainly authors are, they want to read people's books, but they're writing their own books, and it's hard sometimes. So sometimes they can listen by Audible. And I think it's going to be good, but I was thinking, because I think there might be music in some of them. Brian, do you know about that? I'm not sure, but I think there are some that have some music background.
I haven't heard that yet. I don't see why you couldn't, I don't see why you couldn't. I mean, there's all kinds of opportunities. We've done commercials, like music for commercials. We've actually done, whole commercials,
maybe we could think, because also with children's books, that might be good to, think about maybe doing a little song beforehand or after, and then the middle of the story goes. I just thought of that while you guys are talking.
Vicky and I did
something.
A Barney book.
You did? Yeah, that's right. You did a while ago. A while ago, right?
Most frustrating thing we ever did. Everything
really?
Had to be Barney perfect. Barney wouldn't do this. Barney wouldn't do that. And I'm like, a four-year-old's not going to care if, what key it's in. He just wants to hear a fire truck. He wants to hear this.
Yeah.
It was a month of horrible time, yes.
Wow. New things keep coming out. I mean, and certainly the show, I appreciate all of you for coming on, because honestly, I didn't know that much about it, but I think that I'm learning now, and I'm seeing how good all of you are, which is, the same with writing. It just takes time, and you just got to keep doing it, and I think that in my own career, I know I've gotten better, some people don't necessarily always get better, which was a problem when I was doing a lot of agenting. I was telling people the next one will be better, and sometimes it wasn't. So I don't know if I give that advice anymore. I don't know. Sometimes one time was enough. And I just keep thinking everybody should write something, but it's not really true. But the people we have on today, they've been doing this for a long time already. So, and I think this is really good. And I want everybody, before we end the show, to give their website and where they can find them. Okay, Keisha, where can we find you?
You can find me at www.reverbnation.com/Keisha, KECIA. I also have a Facebook page that's just Keisha, but it links you to the Reverb Nation page. So
that's good.
You get the player on either one.
That's very good. Brian?
Well, all things books and screenplays, you can go to VickyVass.com. That's VickiVass.com. And all the books and screenplays and all the good stuff are there.
And we will be having a show on screenplays. I'm promising everybody that we will. And I also want to have another one of these songwriting, because we can play the songs. And, now that we have done this. We can do this again, you know. And then I think it was fun to listen to the songs, and it'll be going out and with the link. So, you know, it's going to be out there. So that's a good thing. You never know who could hear it. You know, that's why I wanted to play them.
Know.
And that's, you don't know. You really don't know. You know, Gil, where can we find you?
Judy?
Well, oh, there she goes. There she's the one that's
out there. Gil, where can we find you?
And I'm going to tell you something. You know, I think that Judy, she doesn't think this, but I think she should be a PR person because she actually does know what to do and how to push in there. You do. You do.
That's
you get it. You, she gets the job done. She, I know.
Well, someday we laugh. My dream is to get the song on the Nashville. So we turn on the station, and there it is on the Nashville show, our song being played.
Well, you never know.
Gil, you have your website.
Go ahead, Judy.
www.gilsnyder.com.
Yes.
We just switched it. That's why I just switched from his. It was, mine is www.judysnyder.com, and Billy's, you know, his a lot of his songs on the Reverb Nation too, that Keisha was talking about. He has a lot of his songs on there. He has some beautiful stuff, and working on beautiful stuff. But that's how you can get hold of us. And
yes, and that, you know, and
you
know, I think we should all go to Nashville.
Meet in Nashville.
You know, and I do appreciate all of you coming on because I knew that I couldn't do this one myself because I'm not a songwriter. So I really, but I am saying that all of you, the words are, I mean, it turned out to be a really good show because you all are very talented, and I really wish you well with all of this. And I'm going to have another show like this, and I hope you'll all come, you know, back. And also, we'll have a screenwriting. Brian, I know, I promise, we're going to have a screenwriting show in the fall. And because I think there's a lot of screenwriters out there that really want to talk about it. You know, it's my first love is screenwriting. And I know, Judy, I did that screenplay. We're going to get it out someday.
Right, yep,
and then we have people here that could write. They could write the score for it. So we're okay
all
now.
All right.
we're ready to go. All right. Now, thank you, everybody. And we do, our host
thank
will be
you,
doing shows. Thank you so much all for coming on. And we do have new shows planned for the next few weeks. And then in September, we're coming back with a lot of new things. So thank you all for coming on. And
bye, Keisha.
I appreciate
bye,
it.
Thank you.
And I hope you
thank
all
you so
keep, I hope you all keep in touch because maybe you never know who could help each other.
Yeah, we might
this
work
is a
on
good thing.
Together. You never
this
know.
This is good. Good night.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye, Marcia.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, everybody. Thank you again.
Good night. Bye.
Bye-bye.